Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky, welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Wednesday, April the 27th, last Wednesday in April, and hope you're enjoying a good day in the Lord and having a good week thus far, and I also hope that you'll be planning to gather in the house of God tonight at the regular midweek prayer service. If you don't have a place that you normally go on Wednesday night for church and you're not obligated there, we'd love to have you come and be with us here at the Island Ford Baptist Church, very easily located right off of the Penny Rile Parkway or Interstate I-69, as it's now called, new exit number 116. We're right here on, that is the Island Ford Road, although it doesn't say that on the sign. That's the road, and we're right out here at 1415, just right here about 2 miles, about a half a mile or a quarter of a mile off of the interstate at 1415 Island Ford Road. Right on the left here, you'll find us very easily, and we'd love to have you come be with us tonight, 7 o'clock. Our regular midweek service starts at 7 o'clock. Love to have you come and be part of our services, and like for you to help us pray about that service as well. Well, it is a blessing to be able to be back here and make these broadcasts. Enjoyed being back yesterday. We got in about 1:30 yesterday morning and spent yesterday evening in the studio, and appreciate the blessings of the Lord in that. Last week we were in Kansas, enjoyed some good meeting, I mean tremendous meeting, at the Mid-Kansas Camp Meeting, which was Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of last week there at Lenzburg, Kansas. Smoky Valley Baptist Church hosts that meeting. They've got co-hosts, and church joining in with them to do that is the Cottonwood Valley Baptist Church from Hillsboro, Kansas as well. Two good pastors, Pastor Chris Matthews there at Smoky Valley, and then Pastor Bill Rudd there at Hillsboro, Kansas, at Cottonwood Valley. So we appreciate being with them. Thank God for his blessings. Then we went down on Sunday and spent Sunday with my mom and dad, and I preached for dad there in the Larned Independent Baptist Church in Larned, Kansas, just a new church plant, and we're grateful to be able to have been there in those services, and thank God for his blessings. We're glad to be back. I appreciate Brother Moody, Brother Hall, and Brother Bell all filling in for us while we were gone, and that was a real blessing, and we're thankful for that, and I hope that that you enjoyed, those of you that got to hear that, hope you enjoyed that as well. I appreciate God blessing there. Now, we're looking forward to services tonight. Hope you'll come out and be with us here in the house of God. Let me mention just a few things by way of prayer requests. I did mention on yesterday's broadcast about seeing Brother Franklin, being able to spend some time with him on Monday. We had lunch with him, and he is suffering from cancer. As you know, he's got bladder cancer. When they found it was too late to take the bladder out, and so they tried to get the cancer out, and then they sheared the bladder, and they're doing chemo. He's still doing chemo. Matter of fact, they've doubled up on his chemo now the last little bit, and what they're doing, it's the same amount of chemo in half the time, and so it really can just wear him out, wipe him out as far as energy is concerned. I'd like for you to keep him in prayer about that. But he had some tests run just last week, I believe, or the week before last, and got the information back that his bone scan said no cancer in the bones. His bones are free of cancer. His prostate had been swollen, is now, the swelling's going down. Some other problems that he was having with swelling is now going down. And so he's trusting that this chemo, by the help of the Lord, and of course he did the Hallelujah Diet for 1 month strictly, and now he's trying to be careful and trying to abide by some of those things as well, but not doing it exclusively. But yet he's believing that God's using that to help him. And so we're grateful for that. I want you to keep him in your prayers, that the Lord would bless and help and have his way there as well. All right. One other thing I want to mention real quickly is the parade down in Paris on this Friday. Lord willing, our group, several from our church, are going to go down and be a part of that parade. We've made a float, and we've got it. We're going to try to be in there representing the station, WAJJ. We have a translator in Paris, Tennessee. A lot of people may not even know about that. Many of them can pick up from McKenzie, 89.3. They can pick up WAJJ. And some of them that can't can pick up from the translator, 96.3 in Paris, Tennessee. And so we're wanting to spread the word, let people know about the station, and they can tune in and hear and be blessed. And so we're going to be doing that on Friday morning. We've got to start up at 10 o'clock. Of course, that means we've got to be there and sign up at 9 o'clock. And it's a couple-hour drive from here, plus pulling the float. We've got some going to be leaving very early, very early, and trying to get things ready. And we're hoping, we'll know more about this by tomorrow, but we're hoping that we'll be able to broadcast live on the radio while we're on the float there from Paris, Tennessee. And that would be going over the McKenzie station, WAJJ, and the translator as well. So we hope that that'll be a real blessing. Ask you to pray for us. Pray that God would give us safety as we all travel down. I think we got over 20 folk planning on going down and being a part of this, handing out the bags with candy and a tract and information about the station. And then we're gonna all be wearing our t-shirts and some hats and just advertising about the station. So I'd like for you to help us pray about that we'd have safety, if it be the Lord's will, that it wouldn't rain, and that everything just be a blessing. God get the glory and the honor. All right? And I mentioned to you that Brother Woodard had spent the night in the hospital night before last, and they were releasing him yesterday, but he's with a heart monitor and some questions there. So I want you to keep him in your prayer, that the Lord to continue to touch and bless and help him. And then Brother and Sister Hall, they've had company, and they're doing well. We're grateful for that and giving God glory for that. I want you to keep them in your prayers, that God continue to strengthen them and help them and use them for the glory of God. Amen. And so just a lot of requests. Do pray for my wife as she recovers. And she's supposed to get some word back from a doctor's report. And we'll find out what's going on there. So remember that in prayer, if you will. The Lord just touch my wife and meet the need that's there. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time, if you will. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your goodness, grace, and mercy bestowed in our life. You're such a good God. Lord, we're so grateful. We want to thank you for saving us. Yesterday, my mom and dad celebrated their 50th spiritual birthday. They both got saved on April 26, 1966. I want to thank you for that, Lord. Father, I don't doubt that somebody got saved yesterday, that somebody may have already gotten saved today. I want to thank you that you're still in the soul-saving business. And Father, what a blessing it be. What an honor it be to hear that somebody listening to this broadcast came under old-time conviction, trusted Christ, repenting of their sin, believed on the Lord Jesus, and got saved by the good grace of God. Having their sins washed away, their eternity changed, their life changed, their family changed. What a blessing it be, Lord. I pray you'd draw some sinner, bring them to Christ, Lord, before it's too late. Help us as we study, as we're looking at these characteristics for godly leadership. Lord, help us in this study. Help us apply them to our life, that we might be what you want us to be, who you want us to be, doing what you want us to do. Father, I pray that you'd bless Brother and Sister Hall with strength and health. I pray you'd touch my wife, strengthen her. Lord, I pray that you'd help Brother Franklin again with strength and the grace of God and the blessings of God. Thank you for the good offering that they took up and helped him in the camp meeting there in Kansas. Lord, I pray bless him and meet his needs. Lord, I pray then that you'd help in our, not only our broadcast today, but our services tonight. Would you guide and direct, bless, and help us? Please help, Lord, that we'd have safety as we travel down for the parade. Let us be a blessing. Let us bring you glory and honor. If it be thy will, help it not to rain. Let things go well, and you get the praise. We ask it in the lovely name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Well, I appreciate you praying with us. We're looking in the Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 3, as we looked yesterday, we're going to read verse 4 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And then Titus chapter 1 verse 6. And while you find your place, we'll listen to this song by our family. And then we'll be back with the Word of God and a message from the Word of God. All right, that was the Shepherd family singing there. Brethren, we have met to worship. And of course, that's an old song, and it had a little bit of new rendition change in it that we heard from the Marksmen. That's the way they did it. And that, Lord, revive us. Lord, revive us. Surely we need revival. We need a touch from God. But I thought that would be a good song to play here on this Wednesday evening as we're preparing to gather in for worship at the house of God tonight at 7 o'clock. Love to have you come be with us here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. By the way, let me plug in one more thing, and then I'm going to move on a little bit. But besides inviting you to come to church, I mentioned earlier on that Brother George Woodard had been in the hospital yesterday. I thought that he had gotten to go home. I was actually told yesterday that they were releasing him, but because of the storm that came in, I think maybe power outage and some complications at the hospital itself, they did not release him yesterday. So he had to spend, again, last night in the hospital, and they are releasing him today. Now, that's Lord willing, and hopefully by the time you hear this, he will be released and on his way home. But remember Brother George Woodard in your prayers, if you will, that the Lord would help him there with whatever's going on with his heart and possibility of maybe stroke or situation there. I don't know, but we're just praying God have his way and help. All right. I want to play one more little short song real quick, and then I'm going to get into the message. But this is by my mother-in-law, the song Bubbling, and talking about how when we got saved, something in us started bubbling up. Boy, that's right. When the Holy Ghost gets down in you, he bubbles up. So I thought this might be a blessing as well. While you listen to my mother-in-law, Mary Johnson, from North Wilkesboro, North Carolina, singing the song Bubbling.
When first I came to Jesus, for heaven made a start. My cup is running over, there's music in my heart. Bubbling, bubbling, bubbling in my soul. There's singing and shouting since Jesus made me whole. Folks don't understand it, nor can I keep it quiet. There's bubbling, 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 bubbling day and night. I knew some folks who had it, I saw their faces shine, but little did I ever know that bubbling could be mine. Bubbling, bubbling, bubbling in my soul, they're singing and shouting since Jesus made me whole. Folks don't understand it, nor can I keep it quiet. There's bubbling, 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 bubbling day and night. My heart became so hungry, my soul began to cry. Oh God, I want this blessing, or else I'll surely die. Bubbling, bubbling, bubbling in my soul, they're singing and shouting since Jesus made me whole. Folks don't understand it, nor can I keep it quiet. There's bubbling, 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 bubbling day and night. When I sold out to Jesus and let go of everything, then a landslide came from heaven with a bubbling. Bubbling, bubbling, bubbling in my soul, they're singing and shouting since Jesus made me whole. Folks don't understand it, nor can I keep it quiet. There's bubbling, 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 bubbling day and night.
Well, amen. I trust that was a blessing to you. It's bubbling day and night. Thank God for the Holy Ghost that lives in me. Amen. Well, I mentioned we're reading our text again today. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 4, also verse number 12. Look with us, if you will. The Bible says, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. 3:12. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. And then Titus 1:6. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of right or unruly. Now you'll notice he says that he ruleth his own house well, verse 4. He ruling their children and their own houses well, verse 12. And then unruly children found in Titus 1:6. So I'm dealing with this characteristic that the godly leader needs to be one who manages his own household well. He's a good husband and a good father. Now, as I'm using this, that some ladies can be leaders in leadership position. A mother is in leadership position. Amen. Amen. Older women teaching younger women, those are somewhat of a leadership position. You could argue it all day long. It's true. And yet, she is one of them that is right in her own house as well as elsewhere. But I'm dealing primarily here with the men in this particular case, looking at it from this angle, and you can apply in that other angle as well. But I mentioned that we're going to be preaching on 3 points in this particular point, and we looked at the first one yesterday, the area of headship. I'm going to cover just a little bit of that because it's just a little section that I left out that I want to hit today. And then we're going to go from the area of headship to the area of home life. And we'll deal with that here on the broadcast today. And then the area of honesty. All right? The area of headship. Now, the very first thing, I said this yesterday, the very first thing that the Holy Ghost inspired the Apostle Paul to mention in Timothy's letter about this leader's home life was that he be in a position of leadership, that he's not a follower in the home, but he is a leader in the home. Amen. the Greek word translated here, Strong's number 4291. It's one that ruleth is what's translated. It means to stand before, that is in rank, to preside over. Amen. So he is over the household. He is in charge of the household. Now, I got to talking yesterday about, I'm afraid, too many men in the pulpit and too many men in our world have relegated the leadership position to the wife. They have stepped aside. They've given her the leadership. Or perhaps it's not the wife. Perhaps it's the children. My goodness. By the way, the advertisers know that there are homes led by children rather than parents. That's why they advertise to the child. Because they know in many cases, if Junior pitches a big enough fit, he can get that syrupy, chocolatey, sweet cereal that he wants. That's not worth much in nutrition, but is very valuable to the ones that produce it. They know that although mama wants her child to be healthy, many times mom and dad will give in to the child in order for them to be quiet and have a little bit of peace in the home. Well, here's what I'm saying. We need to rule our own house well. Don't let the children rule. Amen. I'll say that again. Don't let the children rule. You rule the house. Oh, I hear this sometimes, and I'm saddened to hear it, that people say, well, we're looking for a church, but we're going to let the children decide where to go. I'm like one lady said one time about that particular thing. They were talking about homeschooling, and this one lady said, well, I'm going to put my children back in school. We've tried homeschooling now for a year, but says my little son wants to go to public school. I'm going to let him make the decision. I'm going to let him pick the school. And this other lady said, he's only 8 years old. He can't even pick out socks. Why are you going to let him pick out the school? Well, I'll say, if he can't pick out socks, why are you going to let him pick out the church? Amen. Why are you going to let him decide what you're going to buy for groceries? Why are you going to let him decide where you're going to go on vacation? Why are you going to let him decide all these things? Now, listen, don't take this as me saying you ought to be mean to your children. Absolutely not. Neither am I saying that you ought to totally reject anything that they have to say. I'm not saying that either. But I am saying you are the leader. You make the rules. That, by the way, that's what being a ruler, isn't that right? Being a ruler must mean that there are some rules. Amen. Now, this position of the godly leader in his headship in the home is that he sets the rules. Not that he makes them up out of thin air. Amen. You ought to get your rules, your standards, your convictions out of the King James Bible. Amen. But Dad is the one in the authority that says, listen, we're going to go by this. I don't care what you say. I don't care what the neighbors do. I don't care what the grandparents say or do. I don't care what everybody else, quote unquote, is doing. Amen. We're going to abide by these rules. Set the rules. Now, let me say this. This is the point I wanted to get to, and I'm going to try to get to this. This is the one I left out yesterday. Far too many fathers, are you listening, dads? Turn your ears on. Turn your hearing aids up if that's necessary. Amen. Turn the radio up. Listen to me, dads. Far too many fathers allow their wives and their daughters to dress provocatively. They never say one thing about that. Many times it's because dad doesn't feel that he can. But can I tell you that the godly leader should set some standards in his home, and he should require his family to measure up to those standards. And by the way, I could give you verse after verse after verse in the Bible. Did you know those scriptures that we use about women dressing modestly? A good portion of that comes out of 1 Timothy. It wasn't written to a woman. It was written to a man. It was written to a man who was a pastor. Amen. And the pastor in that, if you read it in the context, he's telling the fathers that they're to lay down these rules. Amen. Dad, if your daughter's dressed provocatively, there's nobody to blame but you. I know you can blame her. Sure you can. You can blame the mother. Sure you can. But Dad, you're responsible. It is your house. That those clothes were probably bought with your money. And even if not, that is your house. That is your daughter. You have the right. Amen. You have the right to tell them they're not going to wear those things because they're dishonorable. Maybe they don't see it. Maybe they say, well, you know, everybody else is doing it. Sure, I understand that. But you're the dad at your home. Amen. You're responsible. You're the authority. And when God calls you up on the carpet, he's not going to say, why did you let her talk you into it? He's going to say, why didn't you stand up, get a backbone, and obey the word of God? Amen. Amen. Now, well, I didn't mean to take that long on that, but that's a very needed point. Amen. Very needed point. By the way, sometimes the girls don't see it. And it's not that you're some kind of a lecher. It's not that you're some kind of an evil man. But, Dad, you know how boys think. Amen. You know what that kind of stuff does to the thought life. Amen. And the action. If you let her dress like a tramp, Dad, I'm sorry to tell you, she's going to be treated like one. That's right. If you let her dress like a harlot, she's going to be treated like one. It ought not be that way. Amen. You ought to want your daughter to be not the laughing stock of the world, but not the gazing stock of the world either. Amen. That you allow her to be covered and that she can walk down that wedding aisle pure and holy. Amen. Decent and moral. Amen. And amen. Well, I'm not going to get time to go to this second point, the area of home life. So let me, while I'm here, just hit this real good. I'm like Brother Milby said, you don't have to preach on short dresses and low-cut blouses and pants on women. You don't have to preach on that every time you preach. But when you do hit it, he said, try to knock it over the fence. I say, amen. Dads, listen to me, dads. Don't allow your daughters or your son to dress like the world, to look like the world, or your wife for that matter. Amen. Put some standards in your home that say, by the grace of God, we're going to live godly, we're going to live holy, we're going to walk in such a way to please God and not draw the attention of men and women in this wicked world. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for allowing us to be able to preach on this point. It's a needed point. It's a touchy issue, a touchy point. But Lord, I thank you for allowing the Word of God to give us clear leadership and the Holy Ghost to give us leadership in this direction. Help us as dads to stand and you to get the glory. In Christ's name we pray and ask it. Amen.